Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, January 15th, 2009. It is now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government. Now, before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Or you can email us anytime to comments@libertytalkradio.com. I encourage you also to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, MyTwoCentsOnline.com. That's MyTwoCentsOnline.com. And that two is a numeric two. Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. Folks, he takes a macroeconomic approach and he makes it so that the person who is not an economist, not a financial counselor or whatever, that can understand it. And even I understand it. And I think it's, to me, it's the very, very, it's the newsletter that I think he does it once a week, the online free newsletter. And to me, it is the very, very best that is available in the country, by the way. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on ContraryInvestorsCafe.com. ContraryInvestorsCafe.com. Excellent talk. Excellent, folks. And we need this today. Also, I'd like to remind our listeners that we are no longer broadcasting over the Restore the Republic radio network because of basically technical difficulties. We just couldn't get things working properly, and it was just too disruptive. So we appreciate them inviting us, and we are really sad that we are not part of their organization right now. But we also encourage you to go to their website, rtrradio.com, for their entire listing of informative programs. We are on Blog Talk Radio, and we do stream over the internet, so there's two ways for us to get to, for you to get to us. Lastly, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good morning, folks. I guess the only thing I can say about this morning, it's more of the same, isn't it? We haven't had any different news at all from our financial people, from the government, or from anywhere. It's still the same old story, and we don't seem to be getting any closer to an understanding of what is going on. And I think I do have somewhat of an answer to that this morning. Yes, I do. I, Joe Cristiano of Liberty Talk Radio, have an explanation why we are not getting any closer to resolving all of the crises that are facing us today. All right. I want to talk a little bit about Ben Bernanke and his speech at the London School of Economics the other day. Now, what really surprises me, number one, is that here is a guy who's the quintessential expert in what is going on financially around the world. I mean, there probably is not one person who doesn't know more or is not more in the know of what is going on than anyone else in the world. I don't think anyone would dispute that. Or at least he's in the very, very top 1,000th of 1% of the people who really understand what is going on. Now, he is speaking at the London School of Economics. I think he did this on Tuesday. And what is particularly interesting is that here's a guy who's talking about what he does, his thing, I mean, his life. This is what he's immersed in. He is an economist. I mean, he has studied this since he was a young guy. And yet, when he spoke to a group of students, he had to read his speech. Now, folks, let me be honest with you. Anybody who's an expert and has to read a speech on current events or what is going on must be taken with a grain of salt. Just think about that. Let's say, for example, a person was an expert in diesel engines. You pick the subject. I mean, the quintessential expert in diesel engine. And they were asked, would you speak to students, you know, about diesel engines? Now, it would be nice to have an outline so you don't inadvertently miss any important subjects, some bullets that you may have in front of you, just so that you sort of keeps you flowing. But would you have to read the speech? Folks, I used to give presentations for my company on sound and noise, because that was part of our business, is protecting people from loud sounds and noises and whatever. And these audiences varied, everything from top management to the workers. We had all people of all persuasions. I never, ever, ever read a speech. In fact, I rarely had an outline because I knew my material. I mean, that was my business. Why would I have to read a speech? If I had to read my speech and I was in the audience, I would look at the guy giving the speech, who's me, and I'd have to say, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Here's the quintessential expert in sound, and he has to read his speech. Now, I'll be honest with you. Most people who are experts do read their speeches. They do. I've seen this. I've gone to hundreds of conferences, and I've seen people who have concentrated in one area, and they have PowerPoint, and they have to read the PowerPoint. But a man of his caliber, someone who is public, someone who is being filmed on nationwide TV, should not be reading a speech on something that he knows everything about. And you would think that he would really inject himself in this speech, and he did not do that. Unfortunately, folks, he discredited himself in the very first sentence. When he said this, the proximate cause of the credit crisis today is the subprime mortgage crisis. Now, I stood there and I yelled out, I said, that's not true. I said, it was government intervention. And my wife says, no, he's absolutely correct. I said, how come you're taking his side? And she said, because he said the proximate cause. That means the most recent occurrence, or one of the most recent occurrences, which triggered the crisis, was a subprime mortgage situation. And he's absolutely right. And I stood there, I said, you're right. Doublespeak. Perfect doublespeak. Because if he wanted to be honest with his audience, if he wanted to be honest to the students, who very few probably even believe Mises, the Austrian School of Economics, which is the correct school or discipline of economics, he just disintegrated all of that. And he said the proximate cause and went on. And start talking about all the, you know, they did this, we did this, bum, bada bing, bada boom. But the real cause of the subprime crisis, or the financial crisis, was government intervention in the financial system, which distorted the marketplace, which permitted GSEs, government organization, government not subsidized, government organization, government sponsored enterprises. I'm sorry, I almost lost that. And to do things that the people in the market, in the general market, could not do, gave them an advantage. And so they did what they wanted because they knew whatever they did, they would get bailed out by government funds. Now, that in a nutshell is the cause of it all of it. Because had there been no implicit or explicit guarantees by anybody else, by the government in this case, of backing up any bad decisions that they made, none of these decisions would have been made. Now, I'm not a professional speaker. I'm not a financial guru. I don't even understand 75% of the stuff that they talk about. It's just Greek to me. But I could have spoken to the students at the London School of Economics without notes. Now, if that's not a condemnation of Ben Bernanke, nothing is. The problem we have is that we never, ever go back to the real cause. We are always talking about proximate causes. It's like walking into a room and seeing one guy, or into a house or any place, and see one guy shoot another guy. You say, well, this guy murdered that guy, because that's the proximate, what you saw was the proximate cause of what happened. That bullet killed that guy, thus this guy's a murderer. But if you could roll time back a little bit, you may have realized that the guy who shot this guy that you saw was actually protecting him and his family in self-defense. But we don't want to talk about that. We just want to know that this guy's a murderer. He killed this guy. I saw my own two eyes. And this is what Ben Bernanke did throughout his entire speech. So first, he gave a speech and read it. And I would have got up and walked out and said, if you don't know your material well enough to speak to us eye to eye, you're not worth listening to. Number two, he used doublespeak, proximate causes, instead of the actual cause. Who cares what the proximate cause is? A lot of things happened on the way to the market. But he never, ever blamed the government or government intervention. Not once. And that is the sole reason why we are in the mess we are in today. If we had honest money, no Federal Reserve, we wouldn't have any of this garbage today. You wouldn't have credit default swaps because no one would be stupid enough to buy them, to insure them. Now, third, and this is the part that really bothers me. Excuse me. Well, let me take a second out for station identification. Folks, you're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. Our call-in number is 646-652-4620. If you are listening to this broadcast on a rebroadcast, and you still would like to call in your questions, you can call into our studio, and that's 918-919-0101. That's 918-919-0101. We will respond to your questions or comments over the air during our next broadcast. Also, please send in your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, now, let me take a little coffee. I know most of my listeners know that I have been struggling with a throat infection that they could not find the cure for, but actually it went away. And now I have laryngitis and acid reflux. Don't know where I got that from, but I think I know what happened, how I got that. So now I'm on a special diet, and I do feel better. You can tell my voice is a little stronger, and hopefully in a week or two, I'll be back to my old self. It is awfully difficult trying to express yourself when your throat hurts. You sort of hold back, and I'm holding back, believe it or not, this morning. All right, and the third thing that I want to mention about his speech. I'm not going to talk about all the things he said. He said the same old garbage that you always hear. I mean, it's just the same old. It was the most boring damn speech. You know. In fact, you know how boring it was? When he got to the end, people started applauding before he stopped talking. You know, you hear the end. And now it's blah, 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 blah. You heard that. You know, remind me of that commercial of that guy who's giving this boring speech, and this kid gets up and just starts clapping in the middle of the speech, and everybody starts clapping, and the speech is over. And he says, oh, thank God, you know, the speech is over. You know, it was almost that bad. First of all, he said nothing. And then what he did say, he distorted the truth. And he said it in a monotone, you know, as far as you know. And then the credit markets did decline. Blah, 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 blah. You know, could you imagine listening to a song that's blah, 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 blah. Ain't going to be a number one hit, folks. No one's going to listen to it. No one's going to buy the CD. No one's going to listen. And no one wants to listen to him either. He added no value at all. That's number three. He added no value. Everything he said, everyone knew. But that's what not they were there for. They weren't there to listen to what they already knew. I mean, he just took the tip of the iceberg and he just clipped off each iceberg and gave them this little bit, you know, like the proximate cause of this. And then after they did this, they did that. And he went on and on and on. Well, it was like reading yesterday's newspaper. And everyone says, oh, this guy is so marvelous. He's not marvelous, folks. I mean, I could have given the damn speech at the London School of Economics. I could have done that. I could have been a lot more effective, and they could have learned something. And all the questions that they asked afterwards were all easy. I mean, they were just easy. Now, number four, here's another problem number four I had with the speech, is that he kept on referring to the government providing liquidity to the market. And the government developing a bailout package for this, this, and that. And I would have said, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. The government has no money. Now, Mr. Bernanke, I didn't know you had these trillions of dollars in your pocket that you were so willing to donate to the American public. And he would have said, I don't have that money. I said, well, who does? You are already $10 trillion behind in debt. Where are you going to get this other $500 billion, $700 billion, $1.2 trillion? Where is it coming from, Mr. Bernanke? That's what I would have asked. He says, well, we're going to print. You see, you mean you are going to indebt the citizens. In other words, the citizens of this nation are bailing out these bankers, your friends. This is what you're saying. And before we go any further, Mr. Bernanke, the question I have is the billions of dollars, the trillions of dollars that were given to all of these financial institutions, what did they use it for? Where did it go? I want to see an accounting. They won't do that. Never mentioned it. You know, and everyone's applauding this guy. I mean, half-heartedly applauding. Everyone's applauding. And we become so desensitized to the truth. We're desensitized. We couldn't recognize the truth if it hit us in the head. In fact, today, folks, if we hear the truth, we object to it because it doesn't sound right. Whenever someone tells the truth today, it doesn't sound palatable. So people reject it. They'd rather listen to Ben Bernanke and what the government is trying to do to ameliorate the situation and to put the government, the country back on track and to provide liquidity. There's no liquidity problems. These banks are broke because the whole system is broke. Why don't you talk about the Federal Reserve and what a sham it is? And then, all right, that's number four. Number five. What's the end game? The only thing he mentioned, he said, once the situation neutralizes itself, he says, the government will start withdrawing this money in order to take the money back. Now, folks, what do you think is going to happen after the government puts money out into the market and then decides, well, you guys had this money long enough, we're taking these trillions of dollars back. Sorry about that. What do you think is going to happen? You think the market's going to do well? You think everything's going to be rosy? Things are going to collapse. He can't do that. Never has, never will. It's like the government says, oh, we're going to tax you this year, but next year we're going to take the tax away. You know, it never happens because there's always another crisis. Now, folks, I'm not giving this. I don't critique speeches. This is not my point. My point is this, is that we are losing our liberties at a rate unprecedented in history, in U.S. history. And yet, as a result, we must be skeptical of everything that everyone says. Because when he says we are injecting liquidity into the market, what he is in fact saying, what he should be saying if he was being truthful, is that we are going to enslave the citizens of this nation to these large giant corporations further than they are enslaved now. The shackles shall never be removed. And we don't give a damn. That would be honest. That would be honest. And at least people would go, ah, at least someone's saying what they mean for the first time in probably 150 years. I think Harding and Calvin Coolidge were the two presidents that were at least somewhat honest with the people, especially Coolidge. When it came to Hoover and Roosevelt, boy, we got a snow job bar none. And we've been getting snow jobs ever since. And look at Barack Obama right now. I mean, this is how bad we've become. The Wall Street Journal just did a poll and asked the public, and I guess they had to ask people who subscribe to the Wall Street Journal, I guess. I don't know how they pick the people. I don't know if they just do men on the street. I don't know. But the poll, and they asked, will the bailouts help? 43% said yes. 43% said yes. 20-some-odd percent said they didn't know. So two-thirds of the population says either yes or, geez, I don't know. Instead of saying, hell no, it's not going to help. Read your history. But we don't read anymore. We're too busy doing video games. The government cannot create wealth. The government can print money. Let me repeat this. The government can print all the money it wants. $1 quadrillion. $1 trillion. Could put as many zeros as they want on that piece of paper they call toilet paper money now. That's all they can do. Folks, understand that. That's the only thing the government can do. They cannot create wealth. Now, my definition, this is my Joe Cristiano of Liberty Talk Radio, this is my definition of wealth, of creating wealth. You need innovation, then you need the initiative to put that innovation into effect, to do something about it, and then you need to produce it. You need to produce it. You need innovation, initiative, and production. That's mine. You never read that anyplace else. It's all mine. I'm going to patent that for myself. I'm going to trademark that. You need innovation, initiative, and productivity. And printing money does none of those three. And yet, we look to the government for solutions. Now, what do you do if you are concerned about your liberties? What do you do when the general population is so ignorant that they go along with the government? And they actually believe the government is doing the right thing. That you actually believe that the government is creating wealth. Isn't it interesting that Barack Obama now is backtracking on so many things? So many of the people that he's putting in office are really some of the real slime balls of prior administrations that have just horrible track records. I mean, talk old school, bureaucratic, stumble bums. And he's got them all. He's got them all. I mean, what about change? No change at all. I love it. I think it's great. I like to see the whole damn thing collapse under its own weight. Maybe then people will realize that government cannot create wealth. And that all the promises, even the most ignorant person, will realize that all of the promises that the government makes cannot be fulfilled without the people's choice, the people's wishes involved. This crisis will continue, and will continue, and will continue. According to the Global European Anticipation Bulletin, they anticipate, this is what their projection is that we will have a default in the United States June of 2009. That means we will have printed so much money we can no longer pay our debts. And our currency, one morning we'll wake up, and all of a sudden, our currency will not be what it used to be. Interesting to see if they're right. Just really interesting. Folks, this coming Sunday, we are going to have a woman who has spent a few weeks in Israel and Palestine, and she's going to talk about the incident in Gaza. Should be fascinating. This Sunday evening at 8 o'clock, I'd like you to join us. This is the end of this morning's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated, your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. These are the two things, folks, that the government likes to take away from us, isn't it? The government is like training wheels. You now have a control ride. That really sucks. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal, the government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.